What are the reasons annexed to the Second Commandment? The reasons annexed to the Second Commandment are God's sovereignty over us, His propriety in us, and the zeal He hath to His own worship.
Well, we have covered the text of the Second Commandment, the requirements of the Second Commandment, what's forbidden in the Second Commandment. In Catechism question 52, it deals with reasons. It says, reasons annexed to the Second Commandment. Now, for the children, this word annexed may be unfamiliar to you, right? Annexed. And so we're going to see this word a few times as we go through the Ten Commandments in the Shorter Catechism. So it means something that's added. So basically it's speaking about something that's added or attached. So what are the reasons annexed or added or attached to the Second Commandment? So for example, we use the word annexed in a few different ways, but the city may say, we're going to annex this section of the county. So you have here are the city limits, and they want to bring into the city limits a portion of property that now is outside the city limits. And they're going to add it, or they're going to attach it to the city limits. So they'll speak about annexing this section of property out of the county and bringing it into the city or something. So that's the idea here. What are the reasons annexed, added, attached to the Second Commandment? And this brings us kind of full circle. It brings us back to the fact that worship is God-centered. In the Second Commandment itself, the Lord gives us a revelation of Himself, and He highlights a specific attribute. So you'll remember, children, what attributes are, going all the way back to early on in the Shorter Catechism. What is God? God is a spirit, and so on. We spoke about attributes. These are descriptions or characteristics of who God is. He is a jealous God. Notice that His jealousy, of all the commandments, His jealousy is attached to His own worship. And this is why the Catechism is saying there's something important here that we need to call out and highlight in a separate question. And so they want to bring this, as it were, to the fore of our attention. It's as if the Lord is saying to us, sit up, you know, pay attention. What I'm describing here is of tremendous importance. This is not secondary. This isn't something you can take or leave. It's something that's fundamental to us. Now, there are people who see this, the reference to God being jealous, and they think, well, that's strange. Isn't that inappropriate for God? I mean, we think of jealousy, and what comes to mind, we think, well, that's something bad. That's something wrong. You know, a person is jealous about something. You know, surely that shouldn't belong to God. But there's a holy jealousy. So there's a sinless, holy, appropriate type of jealousy. Paul uses the same concept when he's speaking to the Corinthians in the opening verses of 2 Corinthians 11, when he's speaking about how he as a minister wants to present them, the Corinthian Christians, as a chaste virgin before the Lord on the last day. So there's something holy, and this is not difficult for us really to understand. You think of a husband. Well, a husband is married to his wife. They have a special relationship that's unique. It's not shared with anyone else. It's separate from everyone else. You have many other types of friends and many other family members, but you only have one husband, or you have one wife, one spouse. And there's an appropriate jealousy there. You know, if the husband begins treating other women in ways that he should only be treating his own wife, it's going to arouse jealousy within her. Or if you flipped the roles and the wife was doing the same, she's relating to other men in ways that she should only relate to her husband. If there was an absence of jealousy in the spouse, that would be terrible. Something would be terribly wrong if the spouse wasn't jealous. They should be jealous. They should have this holy jealousy over the affections and heart and unity that they enjoy with their spouse. So likewise with God. God has created the world and he owns it, and he's created all the people that are in the world, and he is jealous about his own worship. So when people go running after idols, so for example, when Christians go to the world to find out, well, what are some ideas on how we ought to worship him, or they're pursuing various forms of idolatry, they are the bride of Christ. They're wed to the Lord. And so it's appropriate for him to say, I'm jealous that this be protected and that my worship be preserved as I've appointed it in a way that is in keeping with my character and pleasing to me. Think of this contrast. This is similar to what we saw in a previous illustration, but it is slightly different. The relationship of God and man. We noted earlier that the origin comes from God to man. So how we worship him, what we do in worship, starts with God and is given to us. And then we offer that worship to the Lord. So we're the ones who take what he's given and we bring it to him and offer it to him. The opposite example would be if both the origin and the offering of worship started with man and went and was delivered to God. This is a problem, right? God is jealous about these things. This is a problem. So there's a big difference there. Well, let's look at the reasons annexed or attached to the second commandment. We see, first of all, that God is a king. God is a king. This is one of the reasons why we're only to worship him in the way that he's appointed. So the Catechism will speak of God's sovereignty over us. So sovereignty has to do with control. It has to do with, you know, someone who is reigning over someone or something. And so when it speaks about God's sovereignty, it's speaking about his role as a king. He's the one who controls his own worship. He has the sole authority, the only authority, to make worship, to make means of worshiping him. And so this is important. If he's the sovereign, so he's sovereign, which means he's the one in control, which means he's the only one with authority to appoint worship, then we have two possibilities, don't we? One is allegiance to the king and submission to his sovereignty, his control. That's one possibility. It's the biblical possibility. The other is a coup. The other is rebellion. We can rebel against the king and his sovereignty and his control and authority. A coup is when a group of people try to overthrow a just government. So the first thing is he is king. Secondly, it speaks about his propriety. His propriety over us. In the second commandment, he speaks of himself as thy God, thy God. So that's where they're getting the idea of propriety. I am the Lord, thy God. What does that mean? That refers to ownership. So propriety refers to ownership. The Lord owns us and he owns his own worship. It belongs to him. It is his. Thirdly, we have a divine zeal. Divine zeal. So we're coming back to this idea of jealousy that we saw earlier at first. So the Lord is zealous for his own worship. He is, in fact, offended. He is provoked by innovation. When people bring innovation to him in worship, it is something that is dishonoring and displeasing to him. So his propriety or ownership over us and the zeal he hath to his own worship. And the Lord demonstrates this zeal. As you'll note in the commandment itself, he speaks about, and we can make this a separate point even, he demonstrates all of the above. How? By visiting the iniquities. Visiting the iniquities unto the third and fourth generation. So the Lord loves obedience, and he loves his own worship, and he visits the iniquity of false worship. So there's both a holy love and a holy hate. These are, in one sense, two sides of one coin, really. Two sides of one coin. To love something intensely is to hate its opposite intensely. The Lord loves by necessity himself and his own glory, and therefore he hates whatever dishonors that glory. He loves the worship that he is pleased with and that he wishes to have brought to him, and consequently he hates whatever is false worship, whatever is not in keeping with what his word has appointed. And think back to this notion of jealousy here, because these concepts are connected. Whenever there is false worship, worship the Lord hasn't appointed, is a form of harlotry. It's a form of harlotry, right? It's a form of spiritual adultery in displeasing the Lord. And so he has jealousy over all of these things. So these are the reasons annexed. Notice that all of the reasons, in one way or another, take us back to a God-centered purpose. All of the reasons that are annexed are God-centered. It doesn't have to do with our delights and our taste and our preferences or anything else. It has to do with that which belongs to God himself. He's the king. He has propriety. He has zeal. He demonstrates that in the way he responds to true and false worship. So question number 52, what are the reasons annexed to the second commandment? The reasons annexed to the second commandment are God's sovereignty over us, his propriety in us, and the zeal he hath to his own worship.